Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
This is my Bible. It's God's word to me. It strengthens me. It refreshes me. It's medicine to me. I love to read my Bible. Amen. It is a wonderful, wonderful book. Father, we thank you for tonight, for the message that you have for these precious ones that have come and braved the cold. And I know you have blessings for them, just the blessing of just getting out and making an effort to be here. But Father, receiving from your word, answers, strength, help, that's what they're in here for, and I know you won't fail them. And Father, we just commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you have some notes. Hopefully we'll kind of follow those tonight, and you can take those home and just go over them again. They're always there for you to review, and that's a good thing, to go over things again and again and again, because that's how it really gets in your heart. The title of my message tonight is The Great Physician, because that's what God is. In the book of Exodus, he has always had healing on his heart for God's for his children, for his people. He has always desired healing and health and wholeness, physically, mentally, however, whatever is broken, he wants to fix it in our lives, because he wants us to be whole. That's his will for all of us. But in Exodus 15, verse 26, God told the children of Israel, if they had come out of Egypt, I am the Lord who heals you. The word heal in the Hebrew there is rapha, and it means physician or doctor. He said, I'm your doctor, I'm your physician. And if they would come to him, if there were certain things that they would follow him and follow in obedience. I mean, he was just going to take care of their physical needs out there in the wilderness. But he said, I am your rapha. And it means that word heal there. Rapha means to cure, to heal, to repair, mend, restore health, and make whole. And that just covers the whole of man. If it's mentally, if it's physically, if it's the soulish area, he's there. And he's the Rapha that we can go to today, just as they did in coming out of Egypt. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. So he's the same. He's still Rapha. I know years ago when we began to use passwords, I just used Rapha on everything. That was my password. But then they changed. You have to have 16 characters, so I had to change my Rapha. But I love that word, and it just means so much to me, because that's what he's been to me. He's been my physician. He's been my healer over 50 years. He has been there for me. He's been faithful. He has brought healing and wholeness and health to all kinds of parts of my body, and he's there for all of us, all of his kids. The children of Israel were children of Israel. They were not his children, but we are his children. Personally, because we're born of God, we are his kids. So we're extra special. I mean, he loved the children of Israel, and he loves all mankind. But he has special blessings for his own. So Rapha will always be there for you. And he's still that for us today. In Malachi 4:2, in the New Living Translation, it says, but to you who fear my name will the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you will go free, leaping with joy like calves let out of a pasture. You will go free. That's what he wants for us. He wants us to go free and just leap for joy, be so joyful with what he's done for us and how he's fixed us, you know? Sometimes we just need fixing. There's something that just needs fixing in our body or in our mental condition or wherever. He's there. He is a great God. He's the creator. There's no limits to him. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to those who believe. So don't limit him. If you think, oh, this is pretty big and it's been going on a long time, that doesn't matter to him. He is able to fix it all. So get that in your thoughts and your mindset today. This is the way we're going forward. Luke 4, We're going to read this from the scripture, from the Bible, Luke 4. These are Jesus' words as he said what he came for. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." What do you see each verse has something that has to do with freedom. Freedom. He preached the good news. That's what the gospel is. It's good news. It's going to bring you all kinds of life and help and answers for all of your life. But he preached, and he said he sent me to heal. So there's the heal. There's to proclaim liberty. There's the freedom. And recovery of sight. There's another freedom. To set at liberty, there's a freedom. So his way of dealing with us is, I want you free. If you're in any kind of bondage, I want you free. If you're in any kind of physical condition that has brought pain and misery to your life, I want you free. And it's talked about in Acts 10:38. He said, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So oppressed means, and I always thought, okay, oppressed, I understand that, it's just bad stuff. I just actually studied that one out, and it really makes sense, a description of sickness. It's burdened with cruel restraints, that you're in bondage, not able to function normally. And that's what sickness does for you. You're not able to function normally. It's harsh treatment. It's another exercising power over you. And regarding sickness, that's the adversary. That's the devil exercising power over us, putting stuff on us. I know Pastor said something several weeks ago on a Wednesday night, and it just stuck with me. And I said, that is absolutely the answer right there. He said, if you don't put this word in you and put this word in you, you know, and not just put the word in you as an exercise, but put the word in you to let it change your life and be doing what it says to do. He said, you're not going to have the strength to resist. And I thought, there's the key right there. We have to have strength. This word is going to put strength in you. This word is going to put healing is going to put strength in you to resist those oppressions, those harsh treatments, those things that the enemy's trying to overpower you to take control of your health, of your functions. You know, you can't be and do what you want to do because of being debilitated or, you know, by something, some kind of sickness or some kind of thing that the enemy has brought against you, that you cannot be who you're supposed to be. So, but he came to set us free. I love that. I love the word freedom because that's just who he is. He's the God of freedom. He wants us set free from everything that the enemy brings against us. So that's what tonight's message is all about. It's about looking to our Jehovah Rapha, our great physician, to get the freedom we need to live life the way that he planned for us to live, without being just overpowered by sickness and disease and mental things and harsh treatment. That does not please the Father. Think about your own children. You wouldn't want them treated that way. You wouldn't want anybody treating them that way. And that's how the Father looks about sickness. It does not please him to see the enemy put this stuff on his kids. And some people have thought, okay, God's put this on me to teach me something. Well, that is such a lie from the pit of hell. That does not, nothing like that comes from God. No sickness, no disease, no harm comes from God. He's good, and he is always good, and he will always be good. So don't think that way. That's the enemy's tactics to keep you just from resisting. So resisting is a good thing. Resisting the devil and he will flee. That's what the Bible says. We submit ourselves to God. We submit ourselves to this word. We submit ourselves to his lordship and his being a master of our lives. That's what a Lord is. He's a master, and we look to him, and we want to please him, and we want to do what he has called us to do. And if we're sick, we cannot fulfill what he's called us to do, actually. You know, sometimes people think, okay, God, you have a call in your life. Well, that's somebody standing on the, you know, behind a pulpit or in ministry of some kind. That is not, that's not all there is. Everybody has a purpose. Everybody has something to do for the kingdom, and you want to fulfill it. You want to stand before the Lord with full hands. I think of people who've done nothing for the Lord, and they're just gotten saved and just floated through life, but they're going to stand before God someday. And if they come with empty hands, they'll be sad. So just ask the Lord, okay, how can I fulfill what you have for me to do? I want to do it healthy. I want to do it strong. I want to do everything that you called me to do. So he will lead you in that, and you'll be so fulfilled. All right, sickness is an oppression of the devil, putting people into bondage, as we just read about that in Acts 10:38. It's an oppression and a harsh treatment. And all through the Gospels, Jesus healed. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will not change. We read in Malachi, he said, I am the Lord, I change not. So if you see him healing in the old, in the Gospels, that's what he's doing today. It did not end. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he left healing here. He left it here for us. In Isaiah 53, verse 4, if you have your Bibles, you can turn over there. This is one of my very favorite scriptures regarding healing. Verse 4, if you start at verse 1, it's wonderful, but we're just going to start at verse 4 and read 4 and 5 tonight. So surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. The word born, I love it. I've said it in healing class for years, is the the Hebrew word N-A-S-A. It's capital letters, N-A-S-A. And it's like NASA, like NASA. It's pronounced NASA, but it's like NASA. And what does NASA do? They would send rocket ships up into the atmosphere. Well, that's what the word born means. It means lifted off. Okay, this is what the Lord did for your sickness and your disease, because that's what griefs and sorrows mean. Griefs means sickness, and sorrows means pains. So he lifted them off of you. He carried the pains. He lifted the sickness off of you. He carried the pains. And you think, well, I've still got them. Well, this is why you're in healing class, to learn how to get rid of them. So that's what we're teaching you. We're teaching you the Word of God so you can go have faith in your heart to resist these things and receive your healing and your freedom, your deliverance, and go free. Because he said, the very last portion of verse 5 says, by his stripes are the blows that cut in, we are healed. This is a settled fact in the heart and the mind of God. It's already been done. And what we do in our walk with him is take it by faith and enjoy it. Enjoy the freedom. Healing is wonderful. And some of you, I'm sure, have already experienced some healing in different ways. But it's just such a beautiful gift that God has given. And Jesus paid an awesome price. This is Isaiah, who was a prophet, a seer, they used to say. I mean, they've used that word as well, as a prophet. And it means that he saw into the future. So this is what he's seeing about the work of the cross, that Jesus would do these things. Surely is a very emphatic word. It's like, absolutely. Most assuredly, he took our infirmities. He bore our sicknesses. He bore our griefs and sorrows. And I think I have that on your notes. He The griefs means sickness, and the sorrows means pain. So he did it. He put it. He took it upon himself and carried it for us. The word carried means he took something heavy away from us. He carried it for us so we don't have to. And that's why we have to learn what the word says so we can receive, get the faith, the word in our heart, and have the faith to take all of these things as our very own personal things. These are our. This is God's personal word to you. As you read this, you can read, "This is mine. He bore my sickness. He bore my pains. By his stripes, I was healed." So make it very personal. Make it very real to you by taking it. That's a personal word. That the Lord is speaking this to me because that's what this book is. It's a personal book. It's everything that he has written for us to live a very successful and good life. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. This is the will of the Lord. Well, we have to go to the scripture. We have to believe it. We have to get it into our hearts. And so that we'll have faith to take what he has provided for us. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. This is Jesus. This is what he was doing. It says, "When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." So he is fulfilling what Isaiah prophesied about him. This is what Jesus was doing. He was fulfilling it. He was walking in this, in the truth of what Isaiah saw him doing. So he was taking their infirmities and bore their sicknesses. How was he doing that? He was just praying for their healing, and the healing was lifted off of them. I mean, the sickness was lifted off of them. Things were gone. You know, he's demon-possessed people. There are things that, you know, the demons, the devils will attack people and cause them to be something that they're not, or they will drive them. But he said he just cast out the spirits with a word. Just go. You don't belong here. So all of these things are ours today. Even though they happened so many years ago, they're ours. They belong to us. He still has taken and fulfilled the taking our sickness and taking our pains. 1 Peter 2:24. This is Peter, who's walked with Jesus, and he actually saw what was taking place on the cross. And he's looking back at the cross. He said, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Okay, he put it in past tense. By whose stripes you were healed. It's done. It's a deal. It's a settled deal. On the cross, he shed his blood and washed away our sins. At the cross is where he took the stripes upon his back as he was going to go to the cross to lay down his life on the cross. This is when he had the scourging that took place. I want to just pause a little bit about the scourging in John 19:1. It says, "So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him." And sometimes I think we just read over that too casually. In my Bible I have, this is where my healing was secured for me. Right there, the scourging. This is told in all four Gospels that he took the scourging for us. That's where he provided healing for us. The Roman scourge, and you've probably heard this, but I just felt to share it as well. So, because we need to be so thankful for the price that was paid for us to be free from sickness, disease, and mental stuff, and things that the enemy treats us harshly with, as oppression means. The Roman scourge was made of leather thongs or straps, weighted with sharp pieces of bone or lead. I mean, they were just
very brutal.
And this is what he is whipped with. And if you read in Psalm 22, you know, it's painful. It's painful to read. It's painful to think about. Every time I read it in the scripture about what he went through for my salvation and for my healing, I tell him, I said, I'm so sorry that my sin did this to you. I'm so sorry that you had to go through this. It was real. It happened, and it was horrible. But he said, verse 14 all the way through 18 especially. I won't read it tonight. But he didn't even look like a human being. He said, all my bones are out of joint. Everything was just so awful there. But he didn't. That's what happened when he was scourged, when he was whipped. That's when he purchased our healing for us. So let's take that seriously. Let's be very thankful for it. All right, he has done it for us, and we need to receive it from him. That's our place, you know. He's done it. He's accomplished it. He's not going to go back to the cross. When he hung on the cross, he said, it is finished. And I know there's a lot involved in that. But, you know, everything he needed to accomplish for us, he did it. He was successful. And he put it all here in the scripture as to how we are to benefit from everything he did. And he wants us to enjoy. He said he wants us to enjoy life. He says, I've given you richly all things to enjoy. He wants us to enjoy life. And there can be some tough stuff to deal with. There really can. And he knows that. But he walks with us. He gives us the strength we need. And as we trust him, he'll bring us through. And we can be victorious. You know, 2 Corinthians 4:17, 2 Corinthians 2:14, I believe it says, he always causes us to triumph in Christ. We always win. That's his will for us. He wants us to always win in every endeavor. It may not happen next week. It may not happen next month. It may not happen in a few months. But eventually, he will bring that victory to you, because if you are trusting him, he will not fail you. If you are holding on, when you start this walk of receiving healing and just receiving anything from the Lord, just don't be a quitter. You know, just hang in there and tough it out and say, Lord, I know your word is true. I've received this. I've received the healing from your word. I've received my freedom in this area. I've received this answer. Just stay really committed to walking it all the way through. And you have to resist some things. You have to resist doubt. You have to resist fear. You have to resist some things that the enemy's trying to put on you to get you to stop and get you to quit. But we have to be so bound and determined. You're not winning, devil. Jesus has already defeated you. I win. I'm going to win every time. And that's not being prideful. That's being full of faith. So we can do it. We can do it. And that's what we here in healing class are your cheerleaders, you know. We give you some things, but then it's up to you to take the things that we give you, and then you build on those through scripture and make it your own personal walk with God, that I'm a winner. You provided healing. I'm going to see it all the way through. You don't quit. I mean, there's just not any quit in us. Well, there shouldn't be any quit in us at all. So I know I think Jesus is my hero. He's so tough. He's so tough. He was when he walked the earth. He's still so strong. So we need to endeavor to be like him as our Lord and our Master. Matthew is just has so many wonderful scriptures about healing and the things that took place as Jesus walked ministering to the people. Verse 1, it says, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. He had faith to be healed. You can see he had faith because Jesus, it takes faith to be healed. And Jesus was, you know, he reached out and touched him and healed him of leprosy. He just didn't know that Jesus was willing. He was a leper. Boy, he was the scourge of the earth back then. I mean, he was the untouchables. And I think that's so sweet. Jesus touched him. He just reached out and touched him. But the little phrase, I am willing, in the original text means I desire to. And that's what Jesus does. He's willing. And I've heard ministers teach on healing many times who taught in the healing just campaigns just for years. They said the one problem that they saw crop up more than anything was people wondering. They didn't doubt that God could do it, but wondering if he was willing to heal them. And he is. He is. When Jesus ministered, he ministered many times to multitudes, and he healed them all. The only times that he could not heal was because of their unbelief. And that's not going to be the case in here. We have. This is a faith room. We're going to have faith to receive. And he has healing for you, and he healed them all. He had all that had a need of healing. He didn't leave anybody out. He's no respecter of persons. There's not one that he prefers over another. He loves us all the same, and he has provided healing and deliverance and freedom for all of us the same. But he desires to. Healing is the sweetest thing. I mean, I love in Exodus that when I mentioned the first time he spoke that I am Jehovah Rapha, they came up to these waters. They were bitter. It's called the waters of Marah, and it means bitter. And they complained, of course. The children of Israel were like that. they were a problem. But the Lord showed Moses a tree. And he put that tree into the waters, and they became sweet. And that's our cross. That tree, the cross, is put into our lives in these situations that are bitter, the sickness, the disease, the pain, the hurt, the misery, and he will make it sweet. He said, let me heal it. Let me be Jehovah Rapha to you in that area too. Physical healing is huge in this classroom, but we know that people are going through mental things. They're going through broken hearts, but he wants to make those times sweet. So let him do it, you know? Just let him put that sweetness, whatever you're dealing with his word and the answer that you're needing. It's there. It's here. He has the answer. Such a good Father. Such a good Jesus. I have a list of scriptures. Jared, you want to pass these out? There we go. And these are medicine, they're food, they're your bread. Healing's called the children's bread. They're nourishment to you. I just ask that you, this is your choice. You do what you want to do. I mean, we don't make you do anything. But just the really take these and meditate on them, read them, study them, go over them, ponder them, speak them, talk them, make them personal. This is mine. As you read them, just say, put your name in it. Just say, I, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. And it was done. All I have to do is believe it and receive it and stay in faith with it. So as you take them, just make them something very diligent that you do. We ask that, you know, that's gonna be your help. I mean, Derek and Joy and I can only share an hour for several weeks, but these scriptures will carry you all the way through all your life. And just take them, make them personal. It's important that you just really take them seriously. And be diligent. Be diligent. Look the whole thing up. I just have a portion of most of them. But just look the whole thing up in your Bible make it a study. Make it a study. That's when the word is going to get in your heart, when you go over it and over and over, because faith comes. Faith will come, but it has to come from this word and hearing it and hearing it and hearing it and hearing you say it. Make it a very purposeful thing, a daily thing. You don't go without daily bread, food that we chew on and nourish our bodies for very long without getting weak. It certainly is the same way with the Word of God. It's a tough world out there. You not only need this for healing, you need it for life, just the Word. Just absolutely become so saturated with the Word of God that faith begins to rise so strong in you. Several years ago, I had a book or something. I can't remember. It was a book or a teaching that I read that we could be giants. And I thought, that's true. We could be giants in the realm of the spirit, to be so full of the word of God that the devil sees us coming and he turns and runs before we say a word. I like to tell him no. I like to say leave. I like to say you may not. That's our language with him. Like, no, stop it. Anytime you have something try to harass you physically, especially. I mean, this is in all areas, but since this is healing class. The minute you feel a pain, push it off and say, no, that doesn't belong to me. Your body has been purchased by the blood of Jesus. Your healing has been purchased by the stripes placed upon his back. The devil has no right to put sickness on you. He does not. He's like the mafia. They do not have a legal right to put things and do things, but they don't go by the rules, and the devil doesn't either. But he has to obey the word of God. When you speak it, it's a sword to him. And he has to obey the name of Jesus. And he has to obey your voice saying no. Because you are the temple of God. You look like God on the inside. And we have the armor of God out of Ephesians 6. That word, when you study the armor of God, which we will not do that tonight, it's a full teaching on its own. But when it says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wicked spirits. And that's our adversary, that's the devil. He's the one that's trying to oppress us with everything, that oppress with us with sickness for sure. But it says withstand him. If you study that out, the word withstand means resist him. Having done all, stand. Having done all, resist. Stand, therefore, resist him. He doesn't have a right. You are the temple of God. You belong to God. Jesus purchased you with his blood. No. You tell the devil no. You're not allowed. He's defeated. You're seated together with Christ. The Ephesians said we're his body. So where does that make the devil? He's under your feet. So have that image of him. He's under my feet. You're not winning, devil. You're not keeping sickness on me. You're not keeping oppression on me. I refuse it, and I don't allow you to do it. Don't be afraid of the enemy, because Jesus defeated him. His works are destroyed, the Bible says. All right, when you get these scriptures so in you, faith will come. And when you ask, you will receive. Wow, that makes me so happy. When you ask, you will receive. I have a scripture for that. Mark 11:24. This is actually the first scripture I learned about receiving. I think I put it in the King James in your notes. I'll read it in the King James. What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, or you, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Right when you pray, that moment. Before you see anything, before your senses tell you it's not working, or I don't see it, I don't feel it, you don't pay any attention to that. Right when you pray, before you see anything, any answer, you have to believe you have it. That is called faith. You have to believe you have it when you pray. And then it says, and you will have it. The believing that you have it before you see it, that's what you have to do. That's called faith, before you see it. Let me repeat that again. You have to believe you have it. Your answer to your prayer, let's say healing, of course, we're in here. Believe you receive your healing then, before anything changes, before anything feels differently, before anything looks differently. And then you will have it. It's a fact. It's so clear right there. You will have it. And it's the truth. That's called faith. Let's look at a few places where Jesus talked about people's faith getting what they need. Matthew 8, 13. These are words of Jesus. He was talking to the centurion. He said, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so it be done unto you." Believed, faith, trust, that's all the same thing. As you have believed, so it be done unto you. Okay, that's what Jesus was saying. It was is your faith that got this. This is your believing got this. You got to see your answer because you believed. Matthew 9, 22. The daughter, the woman with the issue of blood, we've taught about here her often in this class. He said, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." Her faith made her well. Her believing, her trust, her actions. Actually, she did something. I mean, she said, "If I just touch his clothes, I'll be whole." So she was using her mouth, her faith words. And then she pressed in and she touched his garment. And she received what she believed, what she said she was going to receive. But Jesus said it was your faith. Because nothing else is going to get you what you need. It's your faith for everything. Everything, not just healing. Everything. You have to trust God. Jesus told his disciples, and every time I read it, I just thought, oh, Lord. They were with him, and, you know, he said, "Where is your faith? You know, why don't you have any faith?" I mean, they were with him. That had to be so disappointing. I don't want him to look at me and say, "Where's your faith?" You know, I haven't done everything perfectly, but you know, I do believe this is so true, and I have seen the results of it. It takes faith. It takes faith. It takes trust, and that's what faith is. It's trusting. It's being assured that this word is true. I mean, who else? Dear goodness, this is God. We should believe him. We should believe his word. That if we do what he said for us to do, that we would receive what he said we could have. And he said, if you believe that you receive whatever you're praying for, these healings that are a promise, these scriptures that you have in your hand on that paper, you'll have it. But you have to trust him and you have to believe him. You have to be assured that this is true. It's working whether I see it or feel it or not. It will work every time. Matthew 9:29, go on down. It says, verse 29 says, he touched the eyes of the blind. He said, "According to your faith, let it be done unto you." So, goodness, it's going to take faith, guys. It's going to take faith. That's when you're going to see it done unto you. That's when it's going to be according to what you believe. It's going to take your faith, and it's not a hard thing. It's just trusting his word. Lord, you said it, I believe it, and that settles it. That's it. Hey, there's no other option there. And I've done that before going around the house. God's word is true, and I believe it. God's word's true, and I believe it. If I'm going through a challenging time, God's word is true, and I believe it. And I just won't let myself think any other way, because it is. It's true. And we can act on it. We have to act because faith has to have action. Words are always the action, the first action. I believe I receive my healing. Therefore, healing is working in me. I will recover. Those words are actions of your faith. like the woman with the issue of blood, if I touch his clothes, I'll be whole. Jairus, you know, he just, you come and lay your hands on my daughter and she'll be healed. Those were his faith words speaking. But then there's other actions that they did. They followed through. If the woman with the issue of blood just said, if I can just touch him, I know I'll be made whole. But if she just stood back in the crowd and just was fearful and didn't do anything else, she had never been made whole. But she had to put some more action to that, because in James it says, faith without corresponding action is dead. A dead thing doesn't accomplish anything. So we have to have the action to our faith. We have to show that we believe through our actions. I like what Romans 4 talks about Abraham. You can read that in that account in Romans 4. He said he didn't consider his body. He didn't consider what he saw, what he felt. But he gave glory to God. He was strengthened his faith by giving glory to God, knowing that what he had promised he was able to perform. So that's what we do. We give glory to God. We give glory to God, knowing that he's performing this. He's performing the word as we believe we have received it. He's performing it. Praise God. He's performing it. His power. Think about his power. The Bible says we need to have faith in his power. Think about that. This is the same power that created the universe. This is that same power. There's not a different power that God uses to heal us. So I know that the man who tore up the tile, they tore up the tiles and they let the man down in front of Jesus. And Jesus said the power of the Lord was present to heal. I mean, it's there, but nobody received the healing except the man that was let down in front of him, because there was some action. They showed that they believed that they would receive their healing. It works. Luke 17:19. Jesus said, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. So there we have four different places in the Gospels. It talks about the faith, their faith made them well. The power of God had to do it, but it took the faith to ignite that power, to begin to work in them, to effect a healing and a cure. Wow, it's awesome. All right, use the time before you feel or see anything to use your mouth to give thanks that by the stripes of Jesus you have been healed, and then you thank him that you are recovering. Use these scriptures. Thank him when you study these scriptures. Thank him that these are working in you, that as you have received your healing and your deliverance. One last scripture, and I just love this amplified scripture of Romans 10:11. It says, whoever believes in him, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on him will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed. It is so the truth. He's faithful. Oh, his word is true. He loves you so. He's paid a price, such a price, for your freedom and your healing. And he just wants you to embrace it all and walk it out and let him be who he is. Let him be Jehovah Rapha to you, the great physician. Father, we thank you so much for your precious word and for these precious ones here tonight. I know you have healing that you're wanting to just minister to each one of them. And I pray that this word has encouraged them tonight to grab a hold of you, to grab a hold of your word, and not be denied what belongs to them. That they will not allow the enemy to keep from them any longer what you have provided so freely and so sweetly and richly. Thank you, Father. Bless them as they leave. And I praise you, Father, that they just know you more and know you better after these classes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.